Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Spilling Guts Podcast. That's me again, sounded like Nicole BB7.
Oh man, Titty!
Yeah, you are listening to Nicole BB7 tribute act, Luke Bradley.
All right, darling, you listen to Jack, honey. Hey, listen to fucking Jack today, honey.
Sounds like my mate Diane.
Good friend, good
Denise.
Good gal pal, Denise and Diane.
That's my mum.
If your mum sounded like that, I'd have her over all the time. Tell me the crack, tell me the bars. Let me tell you, boss, all ahead. That would be the one thing. And if anyone's listening to this outside the UK, you probably don't understand a word I said. Not that that changes from any other fucking episode that I do.
I feel like, you know how, like, the Cockney Shroys were, like, obviously they were big here, like, first. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, they moved, their fame went to America, their 15 minutes went over to America. I feel like this is probably going to happen. Like, Denise is real big right now.
She's real hot right now. And then,
yeah, and then I think the Americans will somehow stumble upon her, probably through a drag queens or drag race, will probably stumble upon her, and then she'll probably fade away because, like, not, even though she's super funny, I love her, but, like, these sorts of, like, people, like, pop up every now and again to, like, you
comedy
know,
gold.
Doing real doing real funny stuff, and it's really, really funny for, like, a hot minute, and then it just kind of becomes, like, right, it's no new material. Like, it's like, do you remember, like, back in my day,
love it.
Like, when I was in college, what was really big was, remember, Let's Get Some Shears. Oh my god,
let's
that was like shit. and he was like he was so big, and like that was really funny, and I used to watch it all the time, and like I ain't borrow that tap and all that shit was funny.
Love that one.
And then that went away, and like when Miranda Sings, when she first came about and did that very first, I'll never forget,
what is she doing,
the first time I saw that voice lesson video, and she was saying on the video how she's like hiding in a closet from her uncle and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in a while. And then, you know, she got kind of big, and then
where is she now? She had that movie too, didn't she?
Yeah, that Netflix TV show, it was terrible.
That's right, of course it was terrible. I think her career probably died after that. It was like, you know, some people don't want things venturing outside of the YouTubes. It was like that person, Shane Dawson, I don't know, someone anyway, he was supposed to be this YouTube star, ended up having like his own film or TV show, and that just went down like a bag of metallic decks.
Yeah, I think it's because a lot, that happens a lot, like these YouTubers, like they're big on YouTube, it's great, and then you put them on like the big screen, you give them a TV show, and it just doesn't work. It's like, I saw like maybe like half an episode, and it was, I don't even know what they're called. I think they're called like Sam and something else. And they were these two guys. I don't know what they were famous for, but they were famous on YouTube. And then they got their own TV show, and no one's heard from them since. Like, you know, I don't know.
I think it kills people's careers. That's the sort of...
I think it does.
That's the sort of thing I'm getting.
But you get... it's the kind of thing of like... There's some people who can just like transcend onto like TV, and it's still good. And you know, it's very rare you find that. But you get a lot of these like flash in the pan type people who like are fun or hot for a second and then go away because what they're doing, there's no staying power to it. But I will say this, I think one person that I think would do really well for transitioning from like being on like on Twitter personality or like YouTube to TV would be Charity Shop Sue.
So I was actually going to bring her up before. This is going to be controversial. So I think Charity Shop Sue is very funny. I sound like I'm saying Chop Suey. Charity Shop Sue is very funny, but I do not feel like she had a good grasp on mainstream audiences. I mean, I don't think she's been getting the appreciation that she deserves, nor has she been getting the fan base that she deserves. And I think that is the tea. Because she's not really, she'd be more what you'd consider like your B-list or C-list sort of internet celeb, which is sad because I like her.
But I don't know if you've ever watched like some of the episodes, on YouTube of the show. It's actually really funny, but I could definitely see this type of show being on TV and successful because it's very funny. It's very relatable. And it's just
isn't she stupid, from near ridiculous. Where you're from? Or am I making that up?
She's from Nottingham, yeah. Yeah, like where I know like where she goes and what she talks about when she talks about like Bulwell Bogs. I used to live in Bulwell. Like I know exactly what she's talking about. It's
awful. Bulwell Bogs.
Well, Bulwell Bogs, it's just like the shitty river. It's not when it's just it's
is not that the name of like the town? That's what like the mayor called.
No, yeah? no. So like so the area in the city is called Bulwell. Mm-hmm. And then Bulwell Bogs is just like it's the name of the river that happens to be sounds, or, like the bit of water in happens to be
sounds in the like the perfect picnic destination going to Bulwick Bogs or whatever the fuck
Bulwell
sorry
Bull. It's well
there's it's one of those sort of like tongue twisters and I know to you it's definitely not and you're like what the fuck are you talking about, it's the furthest thing from a tongue twister ever, but to me I can't with her. What I was thinking of is there's a YouTube star, and I forget her name because it's past me, but she had blonde hair, and she used to act a real fool all the time, and she had this little dog, and I thought her name was Miranda, but she used to be really funny, and now she's...
That Jenna Marbles.
Jenna Marbles, and now she's dropped off the face of the earth. Like, who even is she?
Yeah, she was... I remember seeing... Yeah, she was very funny. But that I think that was sort of like... She was one of these sort of like early YouTube people, I feel like she was. And maybe like Miranda Sings was of that sort of like
mm-hmm.
kind of. And Glozell, like loved. They were some of the first.
Glozell
like,
Eat yeah. the Pepper was. That video yeah, used oh to my crack God, me so up for years.
Funny. And but like these people aren't that big anymore because I think. I don't think, like, honestly, being, like, a YouTube star or famous has, like, the staying power people think it would, because...
They're not leaving a shit stain like... on... No, they're leaving a shit stain on society, but it's not sticking. Nothing we bit of vanish oxy action can take off.
I'd say one... It's all about, like, what you're doing and how creative you are in it as well.
It's because, all about your you brand, know,
not
really.
Yeah, and not everything that happens on YouTube or that is funny on YouTube translates well onto, like, TV or whatever. But one good example of that is Broad City. Those two girls, they had their web series of the show on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then it got bought and was on TV for, like, what, 5-6 seasons? And that's successful.
And Broad City's funny. But,
exactly, because it's funny and it's also got the staying power to be, you know, it can... be on TV and work.
So it's very much like when Vine was the up-and-coming mm-hmm. thing. She was so hot right now. Yeah. Miss Vine was yeah. sexy, cool, hot, and fresh. And then you had all these Vine stars, and they thought they were the shit, and no one could watch a video after 7 seconds. And that was true. It was a really hard time having to adjust back yeah. to normal, anything over 7 seconds. And you would think at the time, or the way they went on, that, you know, that was a shit stain that stuck for life. Yeah. And then now well, you
TikTok
have...
TikTok will be the same. Like, TikTok is the new
yeah,
Vine.
Yeah, but this
like,
is
like,
it.
It'll
now
get, it'll be gone soon.
You have TikTok and Vine is no longer a thing. And I'm putting this out there in the hopes that my thing fucking hears me. But there's someone I know from near where I live and they are acting like they are happy to not do anything with their life as long, you know, as if like I had over 20,000 followers on TikTok. You know, like, one of yeah. those people who one day life is going to hit them and a big smack in the face when they're saggy and shit, and you'll be like, that OnlyFans, you know, you can't put that on your goddamn CV, and you can't put on your CV that yeah. you had 20,000 views on your TikTok of you looking like a dildo. You know what I mean? So...
But you know what's really interesting? Because I watched, this is totally completely off-brand. Well, it might be off-brand.
Never
us,
off-brand,
it's
horrible,
I am. I watched yes last night and it was really, really good. Because I was told to watch it by someone. It was the Paris Hilton documentary.
I've been
on YouTube.
Dying to watch it. Give me a
oh
verdict.
Oh my God, Jack, it's so
is
good.
It?
Like, before the documentary, I already kind of knew that she wasn't really like how she was
mm-hmm,
perceived.
Yeah.
So I knew going into it that she's really isn't nothing like how you would think she was. But then watching this, you see her like in a completely different light. And then when you know like some of the shit she went through,
because I know
like,
she goes
teen,
through some stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. You just feel for her, and you want her to succeed. You really, really do. And she and but she was saying how she was that she's kind of basically like the original influencer, and
she
pretty much started this whole thing. And
I bet you're like,
yeah, 100%. No, Paris. No. Well, she wasn't saying like, oh, I'm the original. But she said was, you know, I've been called the original influencer.
And
like the producers, and the producers even say like, oh, well, you are essentially the original influencer. And she was saying things like, it's sad to see like some of the, like these like young girls that can't take a picture without having like a filter and stuff on it, and just like. She feels guilty that she may have started this kind of trend.
But if she wasn't going to do it, someone else was. But yeah, right. Paris Hilton is the OG sort of young TV personality become like icon. You know what I mean? Like she was very that bubblegum that's hot. Like very iconic. You know who she is. From an image.
That's a fake voice. She doesn't talk that high pitch.
And her you hear really now, deep. It's like this really deep voice. But that's so cool. It just adds more layers. But, you know, when you're a badass bitch driving around in a pink, iridescent Lamborghini, girl, you know you've done something right. Oh, could you imagine?
Exactly.
That's exactly what we need.
Yeah, now to shift gears a little
bit. Now a bit more violent talk.
Yeah, now we've got... an exciting episode because we are doing a original versus remake. However, we are doing it totally different to how we normally do things. It's very exciting to me to kind of try out this new way of doing things. We are doing, like I said, original versus remake, and it is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1974 versus the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2003.
Enter in ring bell noises here.
Ding, ding, ding.
And here. Perfect. Yeah. Oh, didn't they sound great? Wow. They were amazing.
Oh my god, wow.
Nearly blew my eardrum out.
Feels like I'm right there.
Feels like I was right there. So basically, the rules of the game, guys, is we will have 6 rounds. And each round, we will have a point scheme. So Jack and Luke will have a point each. So we go through round 1 to round 6. And whichever one, either one of us thinks done it better, the original or the remake, we will award them that point. So then come the end, we count up all them lovely, jubbly little points that have been thrown out willy-nilly. And we will see by now.
What you call?
A bitch. And we will see by the end which one that not Luke or Jack deems the best, either original or the remake. But us, as a Spilling Guts whole, has decided as the best.
Yeah.
So let's kick things off with round 1. Oh, that was other. Did you hear that amazing?
Some round.
I'm going to add all these other noises in here too, like chickens and shit. So what?
I especially like near the cue. It goes.
I know. I wish we had like our own
some Jedi noises.
I wish we had a YouTube show.
I would like the lifesaver noises, like.
Oh, I'm thinking of the whole theme tune, or we can get an orchestrated version of our theme tune playing over the end or playing through it.
Or Eye of the Tiger.
Ding. Ding, 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 ding. Or like some sort of WWE song. We could carry on all day. No.
Or chariots, yeah, chariots of
chariots on fire.
No, that's my email address.
So let's start off with round 1, which is the story. Now,
what's the story
in Balamory? Wouldn't you like to know? Hey, what's the story in fucking Backwards Texas? Wouldn't we like to know? So
I fucking would.
Yeah. So round 1 story. I want you to just start us off, girl. We know that the story here in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, both films, isn't exactly what anyone would call complex. You know, it's she's straight and forward. But I do think between the two of them, there are, you know, it's both of them are flat as a pancake. But some, you're adding butter. When you're adding just a little bit of butter, and the other, you're blueberries, more pancakes, more syrup. And I think the remake very much fits into that one. What would be your thoughts, girl?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I'm going to just go out and say it, that I, like, much prefer everything about the remake, to be honest. And it's because, like, the originals, for me, I find it's just odd. And not in an endearing way or a good way. Everything about it just seems just very off.
Wow.
And I just think it maybe is because of the time of when it was made and when it was out. But I do imagine that in 1974, that it would have been like the shit and like scary as fuck and like something that maybe no one had seen before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the original ages that well at all. And the story in the original doesn't really, like, they're obsessed with the slaughterhouse, which I'm like you need to chill out. Like, you're all, like, young-ish, teens, 20s, and you're obsessed with going to some fucking slaughterhouse. Like, you need to, like, slow your roll, like, chill out. And that's the tea. And it just, I don't know, I find the original to be a bit flat, whereas with the remake, it kind of gives you some, you know, not very original twists and turns, but it gives you more, like, flavour and, like, layers, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it gives you a bit more to kind of chew on.
Yeah, yeah.
Another food
yeah,
pun.
Yeah, gives you... We love a good food pun. And talking about two films about cannibalism, sure, you can't get much better than that, really, can you? But no, I agree. It's like, with the remake, we know where they're going. We can believe where they're going. You kind of get these side stories of like, oh, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, no one asked for that. But I don't know. It's just there's the remake. There's a lot more of a fun approach. You started off on a less bleak note. Well, with the first ones, I'm like, where are they going? And if they're going where I think they're going, that's weird.
It doesn't make any sense that, because the original, like, their destination is that slaughterhouse. Like, they are actively going to the area where they should be going, you know, driving the furthest from. Like, that's what their intentions are, to go there, because the Franklin, the brother and sister, like, their family own it. Is it? I'm confused as to who owns what and why, who's living where and why they're living in the house that you own. Like, kick them out then if you own the house. Like, you know, kick them to the curb. Like, this freaky family, get the fuck out of my house. Like, you know, I own the shit. At least with the remake, like, it's a case of, you know, they not broken down, but like they're stuck in that area. They're not choosing to go directly into the lion's den. They're forced to, you know, mix with this family and people. But, and I like the fact that the family are all like this town is basically one family. Like, everyone knows each other, or is like, you know, incest with each other, I don't know, but like everything's all incestuous.
Yeah. I do agree with you in some senses. I like more the way the sort of characters are set up, and as I said, here's like a fun bunch of people are going to, like, a Frank Skinner, or I don't even know what you call him. I was going to say Leonard Lizard, but that's not it. Frank Skinner.
Do you mean Led Zeppelin?
No, they're not going to Led Zeppelin. They're going to, like, Frank.
No, I know that, but is that what you
mean? No, I don't know what I was trying to say, to be honest.
They're going
to
see someone, a musical.
They're going to see someone to dance to something and smoke a bunch of weed. And I'm like, okay, sign me up. That seems like a lot more fun of a place. And they picked up this fun girl, Pepper, and, you know, she's a real slutty hit. And I'm like, you know, if you're going to pick up anyone, you pick up her. But I will say, it's like then when you hit those sort of road bumps of just, like, cliches at their purest form. Like, oh, you find this girl that warns you of the dangers ahead. You know, like, it kind of comes
But through. It is 2003. So
I know,
like,
but, you know,
you understand why.
But, you know, slashers have come up since the 80s, and that shit's been happening since the 80s. Like, big time. So that's a whole 3 decades of them still pulling this shit. And whilst I don't mind the conclusion of it, like, it's a bit of a change that she really is so desperate to not go back, the bitch just blows her brains out, that apparently looks like lasagna. It just goes through a few really familiar bumps to kind of get where it needs to go, whilst my admiration for the original is, I feel like when you are watching it, it feels like a lock in, or you're waiting a while until Leatherface comes, but really you're not. Yeah. I think the action kind of happens pretty quickly, and when they sort of discover that house, it just really starts to fold in on itself, and it just, I feel like it becomes really chaotic then, and I have a soft spot for the way that sort of turns out naturally.
I mean, there's definitely so much potential with the first one. But for me, there's a lot of, like, pointlessness to it. Like, they love a good, like, shot of the moon or the sun. I don't understand why. In case
you forget what time of day it is, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of, like, just pointless shots and just kind of, like, longer shots than should be. And there's also, I find, like, some really weird, pointless scenes that don't, like, need to be there or go anywhere or move the story along. And just seem a little bit awkward to me, like the scene between Franklin and Sally, like, just, you know, in the dark when everyone's gone off or dead or whatever. And it's a really odd scene to me.
Yeah.
And it goes up and down different levels. I mean, one minute they're angry at each other and the next minute they're not. And then it's just, I don't know, it's a lot to chew on.
Yep.
It's like a chewy piece of meat.
Yeah, you really can't be dealing with this chewing today, can you? Miss Thing can't chew on nothing. She can't chew.
No, blend it up and give me it in a smoothie. Or just inject it into me.
Oh, well. Please, crack in realness. But now you're right. One, like, they're both very of the same sort of story. One just likes to fill in the sort of blanks that there has with some sort of meaningfulness, whether it's I want to get engaged or, you know, and then you find the ring and then she's pregnant. And I think the remake perhaps just tries, not too much, but there's just one too many things going on, especially for me with so many characters. I'm like, the reason why my gay ass is sat on this chair and paying my money is to see Leatherface. I don't want to see 12 older people that you're used to be creepy. And don't get me wrong, like, the morbidly obese woman with the tea and, like, the tea lady are my favourite. I think they're fierce. Yeah. Everyone else, they're just one note. And I'm like, it takes away from Leatherface's presence while in the original.
Oh, I like the little boy, the little boy.
Little Jedediah or whatever his name is.
Oh, he's so cute. And, like, the fact that he tries to help mm-hmm. them at least. I'm like, oh, you sweet.
But again, that just takes away, like, it's cute, but it takes away the impact that the original has, which is, here is Leatherface, and when you see him and he's terrifying and you think that that's the worst that it's going to get, then you're introduced to his fucked up family where it's the granddad and the hitchhiker and the other fella, and they're just buck wild crazy. While in the remake, there's, I mean, like 20 hold of them.
Up, like that, I'm sorry, but the original Leatherface, like, well, we'll get into characters in a second, but, like, it's really off. Like, the
Okay, so what we will do then, just so we can jump into the next round quickly, because Miss Thing's got a thing or two to say about that. At the end of round one story, Luke, who do you award your point to, the original or the remake?
I'm awarding my point to the remake.
Okay, and I will award my point to the original. Enter a gasp noise here.
Gasp.
Who needs noises when you can have a look to it for you all yourself? So
when you can just cover my my.
When you say
like the sound effect, I can't help myself, but I have to do it. Like, it just. It's like a nervous tick. I can't help myself but just make the noise.
And please, and believe me when I say this, I really don't want you to stop. In fact, I encourage you to please make.
I can't help myself.
And I know I'm going to trigger it even more. So now moving on to round two. Ding bells. Thank you.
That sounded more like catchphrase or
or bullseye.
I was put on the spot.
I know you were. It was well out of pressure.
Has to come natural. Has to flow.
Has to flow naturally, darling. Flow naturally,
yeah,
darling.
Like a detox.
So now we're in round two, and this is the characters round. So we will just kick things off by just talking straight away about your Leatherface. What would be, as you said, you had a word or two to say about Leatherface before. The original Leatherface?
The original one, I find, just a lot more kind of comical or like just over the top, and like there was one moment where him and his dad had that weird like lang, he was talking but he wasn't, he was like I'm like, he's not Scooby-Doo, like what, I don't understand why are you making this character into like a caricature, like at least with the remake, like he's, I want him silent, like it's a lot scarier when they're silent. Why is Jason scary? Why is Michael Myers scary? Because they shut the fuck up. They don't say nothing. That's scary. When you've got someone going, and you're like, that's not scary. Like, Ray? Shut the fuck up, Ray. It's like, just be quiet. Like, just shut your mouth and, like, be scary. If you open that mouth, and what I'm going to do is piss my pants with laughter because, like, if you come at me with a chainsaw that, by the way, does not move, in the original. And you're going, you're like, I'm going to be like, he, not, you know what I mean? Like, come on now. Oh, come on.
You're not ways. See, I don't agree with you by any means, but I have nothing against the remake version. You know, I don't mind a bitch that's quiet. He might go, when the bitch cuts her leg, and I'm like, well,
yeah.
That's
fine, because you're going to make some noise when you get, like, cut or stabbed.
You're going to screech like a little piggy.
And of course, I'm
here with it. But one thing that I will begin to talk about now, sort of characters wise, is that when it comes down to the original and the remake, more against the original than the remake. But I have never wanted to push someone in a wheelchair down a hill.
Oh my god.
And all my life until I've watched this film. And I'm so sorry to anyone out there. I do not have a problem, but I have never wanted to punch someone in a wheelchair before.
Do you know what? It's nothing to do with the wheelchair whatsoever.
The person sat in it.
Character or actor is just so fucking whiny. Whine all the time. And I actually don't know if I would like to know like what the choice in behind making, you know, putting him in a wheelchair or making him in a wheelchair, because I don't think it kind of adds anything to the story.
No.
Or I don't understand. I don't know. It's a choice, and I don't know why. If there was more of a thing about it, or like a, I don't know. It just seems a bit of an odd choice to me.
Because then his character, what happens then is because of this, his whole character and his whole persona is just based around...
He's the chair.
He just sulks in everything he talks about, and why would you even bother bringing me? And he's going, hee-hee-hee, and he's like...
when he's downstairs and they're upstairs, he's going, hee-hee, and you're like, oh my god, shut up.
Then he's like, hee-hee-hee.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
And he's outside, and you're like, you're outside, why? He's like...
And I'm like, I don't know.
How old are you? You look about 47 and you're actually about 7. I don't understand. He's the oldest of the group, and he's like,
I would have liked to have known if, I don't know, if there's some sort of conversation perhaps of maybe this happened to him and it made him like disabled recently, and maybe that's why he's so bitter and so sour. But if he's been wheelchair bound for all his life, then why is he so bothered? I'm like, sure,
I think
it should have been, I don't know, he's just so
it
bothered.
Seems like to me that maybe that it happened in like childhood, like he was about 10, 11 and he fell from a tree or something, and then ever since then he's had to rely on his family and his sister, and clearly she resents the fuck out of him because she is not here for any of his shenanigans.
And she's a good girl.
She does not even want to push him anywhere. She's like,
have you seen the size of him?
Off.
Could you imagine? Yeah. You were poor little old Sally and you had to push big Franklin, not only just push him, but you're pushing him through grass, like sticks,
oh my god,
trees. Like, it's not easy what you're doing. If I'd have seen Leatherface too, I'd be like, take him. Because you have a long time carving this pumpkin. I'm getting my ass out of here. I'm away. See ya.
Yeah, it was just an odd choice as to why make him
so unlikable.
Well, not make him. He's so unlikable.
Bottom line is, again, why is he not, so unlikable? It's not,
exactly. And it's like, it's not about the chair, because anyone could be in a wheelchair and it'd be fine. It's it you know it's It's the fact that his character and the fact that he makes, well, whoever wrote it made everything that came out of his mouth was about him being in a wheelchair and how annoyed that he was even. And it just, he's an odd ball. He's a really odd ball, and he's the one that pisses me off because he's constantly talking about this slaughterhouse. Every 2 seconds, he's got a direction for this way and a house that way, and it's like, how do you know this shit? Like, what you mm-hmm. what is? And then the obsession with the knife, and there was the scene where, literally, right after that, the crazy hitchhiker used that knife to cut his own hand, and, you know, they kicked him to the curb. He turns to his friend and goes, hey, do you think that's that guy's blood on this knife? Well, whose fucking blood is it going to be? Because you just watched him cut himself. So why are you asking dumb fucking questions, Franklin? Get it together.
Yeah, the characters themselves are very one-note, which is strange because this film, to me, still is, and I shouldn't even speak about it any further, but it is a classic. And when I do go back and I visit it, one of my main problems with it is the characters and how they're very one note, and that one note sometimes is not a very good one. Like, for example, which is good about the remake, sort of, is, again, it's closer towards the sort of cliche territory, but I'm not mad at it. You know, you've got this sort of, like, wee bit of a, like a, she's a wee bit of a hussy and she's there, but she's good fun. You have the good girl in the front. You've got the, you know, the stoner in the back, but they're, like, distinct, enjoyable characters. One you can say, I can't wait to see your ass get kicked. You know, I can't wait. And the other, you'd be like, oh, I can't believe they died, or I'm happy they survived. Yeah. There's that sort of distinction. While with the other ones, whilst Pam and, you know, Kirk and all are fine, they really are there and exist simply to get strung up on a hook or to get smacked with a hammer. They serve no other purpose.
Yeah, and I don't think they don't really have, I know they have, like, an individual kind of scene, they do, but, like, it doesn't ever feel like enough, especially because Pam, I like that scene where, well, I kind of like the scene with Pam when she finds the weird, like, chicken bone room. I don't understand why the room was covered in feathers and then it had one chicken. It didn't make any sense.
I love that scene.
But, I like it. I do like it. Then she kind of comes back to life in the freezer, but then she's dead straight away. That is hard to understand. But I feel like they don't get enough of a death scene.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's probably because of the time, and they're limited with what they can actually physically are able to do and pull off.
Yep.
Which I completely understand. But I would just like to have had a bit more with each character in their untimely death.
Yeah. So speaking sort of about the main girls then, if when you put Sally and then you put Erin next to each other, would you agree with me that's about unanimous? It's like Erin is the better character because
100%.
Sally kind of hurt my head after a while.
Well, yeah, Sally gets to a point where with Sally and she, for I think it's after when Franklin gets killed in front of her, from that point on, right up until the end, all she does is scream and wail, and she goes from being very, very likable and like, oh, I like you, bitch, I really like your outfit, I like Pam's too, and then to the point where I'm like, God, can someone just please put me out of my own misery and kill this bitch, because she's really, really starting to piss me off. And then just the it gets, for me as well, it's sort of like the last little chunk when they're in the house, and it just becomes super weird to me, and I don't understand I don't really like or get the close up eye shots, or why she's so crazy eyed, or why it takes so long for them to try and like knock her out or bash her head in. It's just bizarre. Like it takes a turn for me from being like a horror slasher to like this some weird, like, trippy movie.
See, I'm not actually at all angry about those sort of things. Like, you can definitely see those, like, close-ups.
What about the Goosebumps grandpa? Like, the Goosebumps grandpa that just kind of comes to life. And, like, 15 minutes ago, you were upstairs, like, not breathing, clearly a dead man, and then you get wheeled down the stairs, and all of a sudden you're, you know, happy Larry, alive and well, kicking it, like, hee-hee-ha.
No, see,
like,
I will take him and the crazy hitchhiker and the brawler over the new or the remake cast any day of the week. Like, I get that he's, like, literally look like he's wearing, like, a rubber duck mask on his face to look like he's an old man. Like, the prosthesis
it's a wrinkly, ball-sack
ball sack bitch. But I just...
And why is he so white? Like, his face and his hair are the same color.
But I don't know. It's so creepy. Like, even though that might not, like, make sense. But that's what I mean. That the good part is that you get this whole start with, like, the front characters who are just not really that likable and kind of difficult to sort of root for. Then you're introduced to sort of Leatherface and you have a whole Leatherface chunk. And then you've got the family chunk that I think is, like, three different films. And I really prefer all those to the remake just because they're just, like, buck wild, batshit fucking crazy with, like, zero explanation, zero reason. You think to yourself, this is so extreme, but I like that. If my only downfall is that Sally was piercing my ears, like my head was starting to thump by the time, because I like the bitch. I hold on to that volume up button until it blows my brains out. And she nearly blew my brains out, but with Erin, she's smart. You know, the bitch is carrying baby. Yeah. She watched Leatherface wear her boyfriend like a fucking hockey mask.
She
knows how to hotwire a car and be smart enough to know, which is dumb as shit, that there's going to be a pig in that locker straight ahead that's going to oink at the exact moment that you're going to walk past me. And that's how you know she's
a crafty queen. I like her little game of hide and seek. The thing that always works with these movies is having the final girl, the main character, go on that sort of, you know, they have their character arc where they start a certain way, and by the end, they're a completely, like, transformed person.
Yeah.
And that works well in, you know, in the remake's case, because it, you know, Erin really does make that transformation, and you do root for her the entire time. But Sally, she goes from being very likable and you being like, right, okay, she needs to at least make it, to the point where you're like, someone please strangle her so she can shut the fuck up. Oh my god, seriously. And even at the end where she's like on the car and she's like starts laughing, I'm like, shut up. You're like, just it's be constant. Quiet for once in your life. Like, oh,
be quiet. You said it like a Mae West. Be quiet for once in your life.
Oh.
Be quiet for once in your life. Oh. So
I will say this, I do find the side characters of the other boys to be, like, they're all an absolute ride, I feel like.
What, in the original?
And the remake.
I would take deck from every single man that's, like, under the age of, I don't know, 30 in these films. That's just a fact.
Yeah. Well, not the you know, cannibal hillbillies.
I'd take him too.
Ooh, that granddaddy. Ooh,
ooh, granddaddy dick. But not all the young men. This is apart from Morgan. Now, Morgan. Okay, so Morgan really bothers me, and he's one of my least favorite things about the remake, because he's a babbling idiot, which I know very well being a babbling idiot, but I don't understand a single vowel or consonant that's coming out of his goddamn throat. But then the thing is the story, the way it plays off, it knows he's annoying as fuck, and it really puts him through the ringer. Like, it really treats him like he's annoying, and he gets the worst of it. So by the end,
well, he gets sawn in half.
He gets, like, a gun shoved down his throat. He gets his teeth knocked out. He gets, like, sawed in half. Everything happens to Morgan. And then,
a banana split.
Yeah, like, he literally, and the cartwheel and his split. And by the end of it, I feel sorry for him. I want that sort of energy. Like, I don't give a fuck that Franklin's in a wheelchair. He's annoying as fuck. He should have been hurt. He should have been hurt a lot more. I wanted more justice for Franklin's death, because Morgan got it. And even though Morgan was annoying, he didn't deserve it either. Franklin should have got the same treatment. And
yeah,
that's the scene.
I agree.
So that is the roundup of round two. Enter applause here. Fabulous. Love that. That was amazing. Wow. Such a willing crowd that we have.
Clap, 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 clap.
So is it unanimous when we say that both of our points this round go to the remake.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I mean, the characters are, I think, a bit more well-rounded. And even though you... When the original starts out, the characters are likeable, mm-hmm. apart from Franklin. He's never likeable, even from the first time he opens his mouth. Yeah. But I find that they all kind of, you know... Well, I think the other three in the original, apart from Sally and Franklin, the other three kind of like fizzle out.
They're nothing.
Because they're there for a minute and then they're just gone and you're like, oh, okay, bye then, see you later. And it's just Sally like screaming for the rest, for the last half an hour. You're like, less of you. so yeah, with the remake, at least everyone has kind of a more of a well-rounded character, or at least some character that you at least get to know them for a little bit. Like each and every one, you kind of, you think, oh no, like with Kemper, you think,
Kemper.
You're getting skinned. Like, I feel really bad for you. And then with Andy, oh, what a ride. He gets, you know, his leg cut off, hung up on a what they called? The meat hook. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, Aaron, just kill me. That's real sad.
I was a big Kemper fan myself, now I must say. Mm-hmm. He just really does it for Pepper, me.
Yeah, me too. I think Pepper should have got... I would like to have seen her actually be killed.
Not see goddamn fluff.
I find with the remake, like, they weirdly pick and choose at which moments they want to show gore and then show nothing. I'm like, either you do or you don't.
Well,
like, don't, like, you do what you
interesting
don't.
Interesting on the topic of doing that, because our round three is on kills. Alright, so in comparison to the original and the remake, since we're on the topic of the remake, how did you find the kills? Now, even starting off the topic with Pepper's death scene. Now, as we're just discussing here, I think, like Pepper's death scene, like a lot of the death scenes in the remake are bogus.
Yeah.
Bogus.
Well, you get to see, you know, the hitchhiker girl right at the beginning blow her brains out. And they keep showing you that bloody hole in the window. Her dead body, she steaming from the gunshot at one goodness. Point. But yet you can't give Pepper a death scene.
It's like he literally sought in to, like, I don't know, someone from Sesame Street. It's like all these feathers fly into the air and I'm like, did just tear into her abdomen. Yet I'm getting fucking feathers galore, like a pit bull went mad in a puppet shop. Like, girl, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I feel like they did them a bit dirty. Like, they gave Andy something good, because they gave him, like, a leg chop and a meat hook scene, and he's like, you know, wriggling around and what have you.
He gets a knife as well from yours truly. Aaron.
Yeah, I do. I wish that we, you know, we get, you know, Morgan. It's implied that he's split in half. We don't know for certain because it just cuts away or whatever it does.
Well, I did watch the special features. Oh, and there was the moment where there's a shot where the legs split and the organs fall, but they cut it out somehow. But when you do watch it, it clearly looks like two halves of like a dummy, and they were holding it together, and then someone just pulls it, and then someone else just like drops the organs. It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
So maybe
fair enough.
So maybe that's a blessing. But I feel like a lot of the kills, like, they just blew all their fucking R rating on the girl blowing her brains out at the start. And they're like, right, we've used that then. We can't use anything else. Like, you don't really see what happens to Kemper.
We've used up all of our gore tokens. You can't have any more.
No more tokens.
Apart from maybe a leg here or a face
there. Like, we've got to have a face. Here. Yeah. Like, yeah. Kemper gets a smack in the head, but with the editing,
that's it.
You know, that's it. Poor little Morgan, he gets bottled. He's just had like a really bad night out. You know what I mean? He gets like bottled, beaten, bruised, and his dick chopped off. And then it was Andy, who gets all this abuse for no reason. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's, and like, so Andy's not. Andy's not even. You know, not to say that they have to be bad inherently to deserve this sort of beating, but I'm like, but he was always good. He was always a man, but he gets it a lot. But again, it's all watered down, really, isn't it? Because you don't really see much apart from his toes playing the piano. He was like fucking candelabra with his foot.
But it's the same thing with the original. Like the original, you don't really get to see anything because you, well, for the time it was made, they couldn't. So the first guy, he gets hit in the head, and you just assume he's dead. And then Pam, same again. She gets hit in the head, dragged away. Then she gets put in the freezer, comes back to life for a sec, then goes back to being dead, which I don't understand. Then there's the guy Jerry with the glasses. Yeah. He just kind of wanders off, and you're like, "Where did Jerry go? Like, did he just walk off and go home? Like, what happened to Jerry? Like, come on now,
Jerry got fucked up with sledgehammer. That's what happened to poor Jerry.
Yeah. And then you have, what's his face?
Franklin.
Franklin, yeah. He gets it real good. So, I mean, I wish I could have just seen him
a little bit more.
Really get it, because that would have been really satisfying to me.
Yeah.
And then, do you know what? By the end of it, I really wish that, killed Sally as well. I thought, because that was ridiculous. The whole thing was ridiculous. They're trying to get the old man who's clearly, like, he's a breath away from being dead, and they want him to smash her over the head. Like, he can't even hold.
It's some sort of, like, it seems like it's
an eyelash, sort of, like, let alone a hammer. It's like, what? Like, the whole, we're going back to the story a tiny bit, but I find the original with that family, that is some, like, Sesame Street bullshit, because they're all, like, too giddy. Like, they're on about a 10, and just a lot of things that they do just really don't make any sense.
No, like, I'm not going to sit here with this blasphemy. They are crazy, crazy, crazy motherfuckers. All right? Now, when you're that crazy in the fucking head and your granddad sat over there, like, I don't know, like when you get one of those crisps in the bag and they're green, you know, it's like one of those spooky things. And it's like literally like a flake who's about to break apart. It seems weird to me that you're like, why are they getting him to hit with a hammer and this? But clearly it's some sort of weird tradition. They're just freaks. But, and that's what I'm here for. And that's why when it comes to the kills, I prefer the original, because every time we're not actually talking about just how they're killed off. It's the sort of death scene in itself. And just like,
but they don't get one.
But they do. Like, I think each one is so, to me anyway, in my personal opinion, and you can argue against it, but it's iconic. We all know when she's running out of that place and she gets grabbed by Leatherface. We've seen that meme loads.
Yeah.
And that moment that she gets dropped in that hook, that we had, and I get it's hard to tell now, but you can tell that they had never seen something like that before. And it has that impact. And that initial moment, where Kirk he runs into the house and he trips on the step and he looks up and there's your first glimpse at Leatherface, and he gets that sledgehammer and his body twitches and you get that sliding door. I think that's amazing. And I just don't think that, like, the remake, what that needed to do for me was to really take that and amp it up, and it didn't.
Yeah, up the
a lot of the time it really just remade it without any other additional, like, gore or, like, guts or anything gnarly. In the case with Kemper, it literally just done that, but done it worse. You know, it wasn't as, it didn't feel as fresh or as scary. You could almost see it coming. You knew, by the way the shot was, oh, he drops a bangle on the floor, and then you see a big empty doorway behind him, and you cut back, and lo and behold, there's Leatherface. There was just, I don't know, the death scenes themselves just didn't really grip me as much.
Yeah, because they should have, because it's, you know, it's however many years later.
Amen.
So you should, you know, step your pussy up. So yeah, no, you've flip-flopped. I'm flip-flopped.
Love it.
So,
we love to hear it.
I'm going to give my point to the original.
Lovely. Enter gasp in here. And applaud. Fantastic. Amazing. Sounded fantastic. Thank you, crowd. I am also going to give my point, of course, to the original, because it just has that aura about it drawing. Right, now moving on to round four, we are going to talk about the killer, or in this case, the killers, depending on which one you're talking about. So,
sure.
Let's just kick things off then and just discussing Leatherface. We talked about him briefly before, and your opinions on the sort of OG Leatherface were that of a negative connotation, am I right in saying?
Yeah, because for me, he's just like, he's doing the most. Like, he's doing too much. He really is on a 10, like a 10. Because I get, like, they're all crazy, but it's really, like, the family that have, like, the crazy cuckoo-ness to it. Mm-hmm. Whereas Leatherface, to me, is supposed to be that sort of, like, the black sheep of the family, the seldom one who, you know, he likes to kill. He wants to kill, and he wants to hurt people's faces. So I think pairing that and having this kind of real over-the-top, goofy personality, I think just kind of, me personally, makes Leatherface more of a caricature than,
okay.
I think he's the killer. He's supposed to be scary. Now, I don't find Barney the Dinosaur scary, and that's what Leatherface was giving me, that level of like, you know, he's on a 10, like, you know, bring it down, give me levels, be more solemn, and just, because I like the fact in the remake that Leatherface is more ruthless. I want to see him be more ruthless and vicious and villainous rather than a goofball that's like, who? Stop it. Come on, Scooby-Doo.
Come on, Scooby-Doo, bitch. See, I couldn't disagree more. I think that, I know that's why we're here, and this is what makes the Fritz so much juicier. I just think that he is ruthless in the first one, and you see when he gets to the point where he's killed the third guy, I forget his goddamn name, Jerry. By the time he's killed Jerry, he scurries up to the window and he looks out the window as if to say, like, where the fuck are all these people coming from? And this, his natural reaction is to just, like, boink, knock them on the head with his, like, you know, his inflatable hammer. And yeah, it's that level of, like, I don't know, viciousness that I see from what he's doing. And he sits down and you have that, like, to me, which is a terrifying shot of him, like, licking his teeth. And it's the...
Oh, no, I hated that. Oh, I thought it was...
Oh, it's horrible, but I think it's just brilliant. Because
I don't. I think the total opposite.
Oh, really?
I just think... I understand, in a sense, like, they're kind of portraying him to be kind of manic, and that I get, and that is cool and fun. However, to me, it was just that I would be on Team Original if, like, the goof factor was, like, turned all the way down. Mm-hmm. I'd still be, like, erratic and, you know, manic and lick your teeth, do all that kind of shenanigans and do those little things. But there was just a level of silliness that just takes me out of, like, I would not find that silly Scooby-Doo buffoon.
And scary, no, I think with someone that's going to be running around and wearing people's faces, and then you get to the end where he's wearing one that's basically, like, dragged up, that level of, like, Looney Tunes that you get from someone wearing a mask, yeah, that he's literally applied makeup to, that, like, I expect that level of, like, insanity underneath that mask to, like, project. And so for him to be, like, a big, bumbling, overgrown infant who just, like, is, like, a bit too fucking happy with a chainsaw, it creeps me out, because there's something so demented and wrong underneath them that when you're watching the film, you have such a chunk where you think Leatherface then is the worst thing. And yeah, that's what the film is, and they constantly come in contact and he's the worst. And then it takes you to a point then where you realise he's not the worst, and here's this family that surrounds him while who are just as batshit crazy. While with the remake, Leatherface, as you said, he's more subdued and he's more, like, he's less erratic, and that I dislike because he's no longer a threat. And what they do to me is they grab all that side characters like Sheriff Hoyt and the Ma and everyone, and they push them forward, and they're the crazy ones, and all they're doing is justifying Leatherface, and everyone's been bad to him, and he's had a, and there Leatherface sits in the corridor feeling sorry for himself, and grow the fuck up, you're wearing someone's face like a skin of makeup, bitch, and he's sitting in the corner feeling sorry for himself. No, I did not. But
the thing is though, with the original, like, I hear what you're saying, if it was just like maybe Leatherface that was like, you know, just cuckoo ka-choo and like, you know, just dancing around with his chainsaw in a, I don't know, in a dress and, you know, drag face, drag skin, cool, great. But I think because, like, the entire family is on that same level,
mm-hmm.
it just kind of, it just seems, like, just team too much. Like, if it was, or, you know, just one of you, great. Because it kind of, it makes it, you like, a bit jarring. Like, oh, that's kind of, I like the juxtaposition of, like, these being, like, just ruthless and, like, hillbilly and weird, and rather than like up there with him.
Yeah, I get your point. I get your point.
At a lower level, and he's like, you know, laughing and jumping around with, you know, dancing with a chainsaw.
Do you want Leatherface to be the main sort of
the star? Like, it's Leatherface. Leatherface is the star. Like, the other two aren't. But I feel like they gave the hitchhiker like the star title, and like, because he was doing all kinds of shenanigans.
And he gets it good though too, and he's one where there is no sort of hitchhiker role in the sort of remake. They replace that with, you know, the girl that warns everyone else off. But do you not think, like, on the same note that what you're talking about, do you not think that once again in the remake, Leatherface is not the star of the show? It's Sheriff Hoyt.
Oh, I would say. Yes, Leatherface isn't the star of the show, but I feel like the other side characters, they're like the ensemble star. I don't feel like it's just Sheriff Hoyt. I feel like it's the crazy-ass mum as well. I feel like it's, is he called Jedediah or Jeremiah?
I think it's Jedediah.
Jedediah, he's also a little star. Then you've got the crazy ladies in the trailer. They're the star. Yeah, so I don't feel...
You got the man in the wheelchair with the bloody... class to me bag.
Yeah, he's the star as well. So
everyone's a goddamn star.
Leatherface is the... They only use him to, like, pop out of the wall and, like, grab somebody. And then...
well, he's on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, they put him, you know, they put Leatherface in the corner. And you never should put Baby in the corner.
Never, because he's a spooky baby.
But I agree that the family just do take up more of the. Then if you go with the, you know, with the sequels, like it carries on that tradition. I feel like well, here's a question: do you feel like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre series
mm-hmm.
are taken seriously, or even because I always feel like they're forgotten about. I feel like it's just a forgotten kind of franchise and maybe doesn't get enough credit. But then when you kind of go back, you're like, oh, there's something about them that has, they're a little bit flat.
It's easy to definitely see where you're coming from, because the essentially with a lot of the franchise entrances, so especially where you're like, so your Halloween's and definitely your Screaming, sort of like Nightmare on Elm Street, you have your sort of first one, which is what sets it all off at being like a Hallmark movie.
Mm.
And then somewhere in the middle, there's peaks. Somewhere in the middle, there's other good ones that sort of,
yeah,
that stop it sort of being really, really flat. The problem with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise, which I think you're referring to, is after the first one, when they went into the second one, that took a lot more of a comedy aspect. And then the rest of them sort of followed that absurdity, with none of them ever really being considered a good film. And to this day, none of them, aside from the first one, none of them are actually held at a high regard in the slightest. So that's probably where that's coming from. It's just, as a franchise, you can't, you know, essentially one film can't carry an entire franchise of eight, let's just say.
But do you not kind of feel like, as well, after the first one with the original and the remake, like, there's not really anywhere else you can go with them, because when you come back and revisit them, it's the same story. There's nothing. It's only when they go real crazy with like more of the family stuff, and like, and it's like, I kind of get where you're going, because I think you know deep down that when you, if you go back to them and that franchise and that world, there really isn't that much more you can do unless you take it to the level that they do, and they kind of, they go like too far because they're trying to make it new and different, and I just don't think you can. And you know, but I do think that there is definitely potential to revisit them.
Well,
and yeah, it may be the same story, but you know, give me variations or give me variations of character,
because they're doing exactly like they're I don't know if they're rebooting it or what's happening, but they're doing another one anyway that's going to come out next year, which 2021 is going to be an absolute hit.
It's the year of the slasher.
The year of the slasher return. And I'm excited to see it because you know how I feel about Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Yeah.
I really do like it. And what that tried to do was just bring it back to the sort of roots. But like, we'll say nothing.
Oh my god, that film is like a hot
really enjoy it.
But it's like, I don't know if you've ever walked, have you ever walked past like a massive pile of like horse shit and it's like still steaming because it's so big. It's like a mound of horse shit on the road. It's not even that fresh, but because it's so big, it's still steamy. That is Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D, without a doubt.
Well, let me tell you, I don't know if you've went and visited any of the middle parts of the Texas Chainsaw franchise, but I assure you that will not be your least favorite. I can promise you that much, bitch. But anyway, and to end that round, and to end round four, where are you giving your point for Killers? Remake or original?
I'm giving it to the remake. If it was just the original Leatherface doing all the shenanigans, it would be like, oh, that's weird and new and not something I've seen before. But because like the entire family acts up, like at least with the remake, there's a variation in the two. Like there's, you know.
If you're trying to make me agree with you, you'd be a long time coming. I will not agree on that. And that's why my point, I'm afraid, is going to the original on this one. And that leaves us in time to move on, Miss Thing, to...
Have you been keeping score, by the way?
Yes, I have, girl. Yes, I have. I will tell you the scores at the end, bitch. So this moves us on now to round five, which is iconic moments. So this is purely based off moments that you, like we do when we watch your slashers, go, iconic. That is iconic. Take it away. Which one? Let's talk about, start off with the original. Is there any moments in there that you genuinely feel like are stuck in your brain as like a real iconic?
Oh, definitely. There's two. Pam, when she gets put on the hook.
Yes.
For sure.
Legendary.
Because even though we're talking shit, the original is all. I mean, it's all right. But there's a lot I do like about it. But you know, as a whole, you're like not for me.
If,
but, you know,
if it's not your sort of cup of tea.
Yeah,
really,
but and there's. Yeah, it's not really my kind of my franchise. I mean, I'll dip in every now and again, but they're not like my go-to. But you know, when I'm there, I'm like, I'm having a good time. So I do like Pam's scene. I do like Pam's scene. So I do find that iconic because it was, you know, especially 1974.
It's
come on,
creepy
now, like,
the way
that
he
must
just
have been...
bursts out. He sees her and he gives her a big old bear hug.
Yeah, and then the other one for me, which always jumps out of my mind, is the very end where Sally is covered in blood on the back of the car, and she's like, ha, 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 and you're like, okay, chill out, crazy eyes. but that to me is just like is iconic. Mm-hmm. That whole I've never seen someone make their eyes so wide and bulging out of their head for like. She's doing it from like 3 hours straight. For most of the film, she's like wide eyed and like mouth open, like all the time.
Yeah, nah. I completely agree with the two that you said. I think Pam discovering like Pam and Leatherface clashing. That moment, you send that image off to anyone and they'll know what that is. I mean, when I watched this last year with my housemates at the time, one of them does not watch horror films in the slightest, and she was watching it with me, and she was like, oh my god, that's where that's from. As soon as she bursts out the door and he grabs her, she, who does not even watch a single horror movie, knew that was, and finally was able to put an image, you know, a face to a name, essentially. And of course, when she gets hung up on that hook, but the most iconic moment is the whole bit where she leaps out that window and she runs. Mm-hmm. And from when she's out that window and until he's swinging his chainsaw, I think slasher films have not been able, or horror films, to replicate a film to end so abruptly.
Well, that's it. Like,
too terrifying.
This is what frustrates me about the originals, because there's so many, like, good moments, for me personally, in it, that I think, oh, it's so sudden, because especially the time, like, I keep saying it, but it's, like, 1974, and, like, it was, you know, something very new. We have, you know, we don't see Halloween until 4 years later, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And then you've got, you know, and this is before Black Christmas as well. So this was really sort of like a you know, one of the originals,
one of the first.
One of the first. So watching it, you're like, there's so much good of it about it. But then I feel like a lot of the goodness gets overshadowed by so much shit.
to fluff it up. Franklin. Like, it is, like, does it test the time? We will never know. I will forever be able to appreciate it. I think just coming from this was a film.
Do you think?
That, yeah.
Even though it's got so many good moments and iconic moments, but in your heart of hearts, do you think it ages well?
Can I give like a 60% yes answer?
No.
I'm gonna say yes. All right, but it's not like yes. It's like a quite faint-hearted yes. All right.
So you do think it ages well?
Yes, because I think there's moments in it that will forever creep me out, and it will not, when I watch it, never not creep me out, and never, like, the ending.
You are full of shit.
I'm not full of shit. That moment where he sat there looking directly into the camera, licking his teeth, used to haunt my dreams when I was younger, and when I watch it now and it has that music, bitch, I love it. I don't know if I'm like turned on by it.
Oh my god, no, because you said the word music, I'm sorry to cut you off, but for some reason, I like the score in the original. I don't know who thought like cymbals were scary, because they're not.
Come off it.
There is a cymbal just going bang.
Bang.
It's like that. Isn't scary. It's like bash, bash, bash. It's not band camp. Like,
well,
chill out with the cymbals.
Well, in the remake, it's like fucking orchestra camp. And the remake is like, nit, 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 nit. I'm like, calm down with the fucking, what do you got, Disney rock camp or whatever the fucking band camp? I don't even know what
fucking
it's
called. Songs of praise.
You know, I think if the two of them had just met somewhere in the middle, I'd be happy. But I'm not talking about the cymbals. I'm talking about that, like, rattlesnake noise that would always...
Okay, yeah.
Those sort of... Like, don't get me wrong, the really abrupt cymbal of, like, fucking School of Rock when the wee boy can't play nothing, so he gives him the cymbals. But everything else, all right. So, in regards into the remake, what sort of iconic moments do you think there is in the remake?
Oh, definitely the sheets running away through that is, I think when you hear the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I always think of the sheets. I do. I go with the sheets and
freaking
then
the sheets.
I go with the sheets first and then the other two. But yeah, I think that is iconic. I think,
having trouble there?
I would say, I would say the scene where, because I really enjoy it, it's where Leatherface has just killed Pepper and he turns, spins around and he's wearing Kemper's face.
That's a cool moment.
It takes you like a real, just a slight minute to
realize
and recognize like who he's wearing.
I think that's what Jessica Biel's doing too. She's not actually scared of what he's wearing. She hasn't a clue what he's wearing. She's like, he just killed her, so I'm fucking off. She's not even gasping that he's wearing her boyfriend's face. She hasn't bothered.
I will say as well, an iconic moment would definitely be Jessica Biel's outfit. Like, that is
that's
spot
the
on.
Gay answer,
like,
for
that is that outfit is what I want to be laid to rest in.
And you want it to be so cold, so cold, that your nipples are stood on you to like two fucking hard bullets. I think I will say, which to me is the most iconic moment, is the moment that Jessica Biel slithers her way into the slaughterhouse. So you have the whole her with the carcasses, and then her sliding about, and I like the really taut intensity of it all, that I feel like the rest of the film will like give you something really intense, and then like show you Sheriff Hoyt torturing someone for 15 yeah. minutes, and then it would be really intense, while that was just good old chunky piece of meat to Leatherface cutting a bitch up in a hat outfit.
Yeah, and I think for me as well, what also sticks up in my mind is this, and it's very, very simple, but there's a scene where Jessica Biel is just kind of, she's on her own, but she's walking through like the fields or the woods, and I think it's quite light as well, and it's very, very simple, but that also for me is just iconic, because I find that in the remake, the set and the shots of the outside are really delicious to me, and there's a moment where they're in the like in the woods, and the sun is like shining through the trees, and it just creates this really eerie sort of like, as if you're on like a swamp type.
Yeah,
it's really cool. They're outdoor shots, and there's definitely one moment where Jessica Biel, she's kind of walking on her own, and that always sticks in my mind for some reason.
See, I
think they use it for like a mini clip or a trailer or They use that image for sure for something, and it always sticks with me.
See, I have that same emotion for in the original, and it's Pan's outfit, fierce, and there's this shot where she's just got really pissed off with her boy Kirk. And she's gone and she's sat in this swingy bench. And there's this beautiful shot where it goes from under the bench and it follows her. She's get up and you've got the screen as full of big, beautylicious ass in these tiny red shorts. And it's her walking booty towards, shots. And then booty shorts. And I think that moment.
And that backless top.
And that backless top. And I'm like, your outfit, that shot, that is the gay in me. That's the most iconic moment.
I would like to put Pam's top with Sally's white pants.
Me and Jordan, were finding Sally's trousers so sickening, but that baggy ass wife beater, get it off me. That's why he can't
get it together, Sally.
Get it together, Sally. Fuck. That hair was fierce. The trousers were fierce. The top was So on our last round, where is your point going?
Are we giving the point? Who for... iconic moments? Who are we giving the point to?
That's it. That's what I'm asking you. Who are we giving the points to?
It's a really tough one. I'm going to give it to the original because it is the original. It's a classic. When you do think of that film, those are some of the images. However, it's a tough one because I do also really think about the remake. It's a hard one.
Why don't we give them a point each for you? Would you like that?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's break the rules.
No, let's break the rules on our very first day of rules. I'm going to give the original, of course, my point for iconic moments. It is not to say that the remake does not have them, because it definitely does.
No, I don't want 2 points. Give it to the original.
Give it to the original?
Yeah, give it.
Worries, well, dude. Like, the remake has them moments, and that sticks out, you know. Childhood is in the film I would have watched the most would have been the remake. But as you said, the original is the original, and if it wasn't for that, fuck knows what sort of moments that we would not have had. But this is the final round, but this one is just a verdict. This is just, bitch, give me your verdict on both films, and then we will count up them juicy little points.
Okay, so for me, I mean, I didn't write much down for the overall, for the original. It's just a bit all over the place for me. I can't quite put my finger on it. There's lots of moments that I like. There's more moments that I don't like. And it just seems a bit, like I said, just all over the place. And like.
Yeah, you just weren't feeling it. So what would be your axe wounds? And then I will add them axe wound points onto the film score.
Well, it was a 3. However,
oh my god! homophobia, after call talking, the police.
After talking to you mm-hmm. and hearing what you have to say about things, mm-hmm. It's now a 3.5. No, I'm joking. it's a 5 out of 10 for me.
Okay. Well,
it's not my cup of tea, but I'm going to give it 2 extra points because I'm feeling generous and hungry.
This is how these conversations go, bitch. I will say for the original, whilst I don't think it has aged perfectly well, and I think she's a little bit rusty around the edges, I think given the time and the sort of feelings that I still have for the film, I think it's still up there with one of the sort of retro horror films that will just always mm-hmm. stick with me. And I think at birth, and whether he's had good films or not, he is iconic, and he's queer representation. You know, the bitch likes to dress up in a little bit of drag, mm-hmm. and I think that's fierce. So
I will say this. He's always going to be invited to the party. Let's just say that he's always going to be invited to the party. I might not want him to come, but he's invited.
Ready, and you'll talk to him. But you won't really get the best conversation because all he'll do is...
Sure. Shut up.
I will give Texas Chainsaw Massacre 9 out of 10. The OG is getting a big, juicy, whopping...
9?
Wow. Absolutely. So, talk me that's through your verdict.
That's too much. Well, that's too... No. Come on, that's 9 is too much. Come on.
Have a word with yourself. You were sitting at 3.
No, you have a word with yourself. After this whole episode, you're going to carry on giving it you are cuckoo-cachoo.
Bitch, and I stick by it. I was going to give it a 10 until I rewatched it again. I went, if I didn't have a thumping headache after watching it, it would have been a 10.
You are deluded.
No, you're deluded, Miss Thing. Now, the remake starring our very own Jessica Biel, what is your verdict?
I mean, I'm not going to go above and beyond. I mean, I think I prefer the story in terms of, like, how they end up where they end up. I prefer the character, like, the friend group characters more than, I feel like, you root for those more because you don't really get a sense of the originals. You know, they don't really mm-hmm. kind of, they don't jump off the page. Like, they're not giving me anything. Whereas the new ones, the fresh ones, they're all giving me something. So yeah, that's all I wrote down was, you know, good story, great characters. That's about it. Like this, like, you know, there's some fun moments, some good moments, iconic moments, some womp womps. And my axe wounds is a 6 out of 10. It's nothing, not miles ahead of the original for me. Yeah. But
you're not ranting and raving about it.
It's got a little. It's got a bit more salt in the pot.
Salt in the wound?
No, like salt in the soup. Salt in the soup.
I know, salt in the soup, and what a meaty soup that is. I think that the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre is entertaining. It does the job. It's, you know, I go to McDonald's, I order a burger. It's cheap, it's cheerful, and I end up liking the burger. Is it gourmet? No, bitch. Is it anything I haven't tasted before? Absolutely not. But it does the job, and will I go back and eat there again? Abso-fucking-lutely. Absolutely. And I'll eat there probably twice a year, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I would just give it a 6 out of 10 also. You know, it doesn't break any boundaries, and it unfortunately doesn't take a brave enough of a leap in trying to re-establish or remake what is an iconic franchise, and for that I think that's why it loses its points. If it was a bit more daring and had a bit more to offer, I think we could have really been dealing with a better remake.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a point.
Yep.
But listen, you know, I didn't give the original 9, so, you know.
Yeah, well, you're crazy. And that's
no, tea. You, sweetie, are crazy. You're going to give it a 10. Like,
well, what I will do, okay, is after we have aired this episode on Sunday, I will put out a poll out there for everyone, and I will see who agrees with Jack's rating, a 9 out of 10, and who agrees with Luke's rating.
The poll should be show of hands, who thinks this film is a 10 out of 10, and
who thinks this is a 3 out of 10?
I didn't give it a 3.
But I didn't give it a 10. I gave it a
3.5.
I didn't... You're a bastard.
I gave it 5. Roll the tape. Roll the tape back. I gave it a 5.
Yeah, and I was going to give it a 10, but since speaking to you, I made it a 9. You were going to give it a 3, but since speaking to me, you made it a 5. So it's a 5 and a 9.
Yeah, but but a 3 is not like, oh my God. But 10 is like, that's too much.
Well, we shall see. But for the meantime, I have counted up the scores. Please do not say fuck or bugger. You are live on Channel 4.
Fuck bugger.
So in this very, very interesting Royal Rumble between original versus remake, with a whopping 20 points, the OG Texas Chainsaw Massacre comes out on top.
Whoop, whoop.
Woo!
I knew it would.
Use applaud noises here. Brilliant. Clap, 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 clap. But the remake
clap
didn't
back.
Clap back. The remake was short and tailed with a 16 points. So, you know,
oof.
It is a fair oof. Game, but I think one just overcomes the original. Well, that was fun.
It was fun. I mean, I liked the way of doing things.
Spicier.
It was different. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
But before we go ahead and follow us on Instagram at
Spell and Guts Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter at
Spell and Guts Pod.
Follow us on Facebook at
Spell and Guts Podcast.
And then finally, go like, subscribe,
rate,
review,
comment, message us. Stuff. We're friendly. We're cute.
We'll reply with a dick pic. No, I'm joking. We'll reply.
It'll we'll just reply be a photo anyway. Of Luke's face. There's your dick.
Wow,
I know. That was a new low.
That was uncalled for.
I was doing so well up until an hour and 20 minutes that into
was,
recording.
That was, yeah, that was uncalled for. And, you know,
fuck you.
Go fuck yourself.
Right, on that note, bitch.
On that note, boo, you whore.
Deuces.
Bye.